Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hello there, creepies. Welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 29. Nate is your sound engineer, and we're your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out.
Darn right we are.
Gentlemen? Should I use gentlemen this time?
Gentlemen, please.
Yeah. Nah.
No, yeah. Brothers, gentlemen. Yeah.
Gentle, please.
People that showed up tonight.
Yeah. Everybody in the crowd? No.
And the crowd goes wild.
So what's going on? Just nothing?
That's silent. That's awkward silence.
That's terrible.
No, yeah.
What is going on here?
I know, yeah. Like, this is like that one time when you're like, is there something you guys are keeping for me? Okay, tell me, which one, what's going on?
What are you hiding from me?
Yeah. What are we hiding from you?
Okay, what did you do?
What'd you do? Look me in the eye. Nobody look me in the eye.
You're both in trouble.
Just don't look in the tank on the toilet.
Ooh.
Things are going good. We had a great guest chat tonight.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. We won't tell who it is.
No. That's super secret. Super secret.
Is it super secret?
Maybe. Well, this mini that we're working on right now is going to drop this Saturday, so we're not going to tell.
No.
But we had fun. That's all you need to know.
It was fun. That was a good way to start the recording night, as we call it.
Mm-hmm. Recording night. Excellent.
Party
on. Party on.
And we will not do the Kiss Dynasty music.
But we already did that.
Oh, that's what threw me off at the beginning of this, yeah. I was like, I had to get that on my mind. I'm like,
I like that song. Sorry.
Whew, that's rough. Well, creepies, thanks for joining us for Middle Age Mini number 29. I can't believe we're approaching number 30 soon.
Oh, that is wild. Really? We're going to do that next.
That is wild. Woo. So, Sean, what are we going to talk about for this mini episode?
We are going to take a quick deep dive into Indiana monsters. This idea is brought to us by Tommy Kingsley. He is a listener. Friend of the show. He's helped us with the Nazi occult before, so we really appreciate that.
Thank you, Tommy, very much.
And he had sent me this. He has this book. It is from, actually, 2006. The author is Michael Newton, and it's Strange Indiana Monsters. It's $12.95 on paperback. I'm not really... I make no money off of this, but it is actually...
What kind of endorsement do you
exactly
have?
Exactly.
Right.
Tommy and I are going through... No. But I honestly thought about getting the book myself. I probably need to. So, Michael Newton, if you're listening out there, I probably will.
So, are we getting ankle deep since it's a mini?
We are getting ankle... Yeah, ankle deep. We're not going to get... We're not submerging ourselves anyway, right?
That's about it. That's the limit.
I am shocked, though. Like, seriously, I filled my page with, like, I don't know, 30 different monsters. Like, first of all, if somebody said, okay, have you ever heard of any monsters based here? I'd be like, I don't know, maybe Bigfoot walked across the state one time. You know, I don't know. Like, I have never heard of most of these, if not the majority of these. We're going to cover some of them. There are ones I'm sure that we don't even know about. But I'm just going to give you some highlights here. And then, like I said, we'll talk about some of these. There are definitely goblin beings. There's a thing called the Gollywampus. There's a Crawfordsville monster. Who knew? There's Wolfmen. Okay, I swear to you, I found this one. Phantom kangaroos. Phantom kangaroos? Really?
That's odd.
That's out there. Monster turtles. Those are out there. We're going to talk about not the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, or middle-aged Ninja Turtles nowadays. There's a Bigfoot. There's ancient trolls. There's giant birds. There's wild lizard men. There's mud mermaids. That may be one of my favorites, actually. There's words I can't pronounce. There's dragons. I mean, and there's things that look like the creature from the Black Lagoon. That's what makes me think like some of these things. So we have that right here in the heart of Indiana-ish, you know, the Midwest, the crossroads of America, right?
That's right.
We have these monsters. So I'm going to start. Oh, Devil Monkeys. How can I forget Devil Monkeys?
No, I love that name, Devil Monkeys.
So we're just going to talk about a few of these. Like I said, we may have to do another part on these. But the first one I wanted to go over. Now, I heard about this being called, referred to, so I think I have this right, is the Mill Race Monster. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what I heard, at least I went over so many stories, I listened, I read some of this stuff, and it sounded like there were two sightings in this one day from this. This calls it the Dogtown Lizard Man, and it was in 1955, but this is how the Mill Race Monster was talked about too.
I like the Dogtown. I think that's just funny.
Sounds Dogtown, yeah.
Dogtown, maybe. Not just the town lizard man. It's the Dogtown lizard man.
So it says there was back in August 21st, 1955, It was a muggy afternoon. Mrs. Darwin Johnson and a friend, Mrs. Chris Lamble, went swimming in the Ohio River near Dogtown. Oh, that's why Dogtown, right? A few miles upriver from Evansville in Vandenberg County. While clinging to an inner tube some 15 feet offshore, Johnson felt something like a hand grasp her left leg at the knee, pulling her underwater. She kicked free, but the unseen grappler seized her again and once more yanked her head beneath the surface. Again, she fought her way to fresh air, but the creature, if creature it was, retained a firm grip. Only when Lamble swam to help her friend, both women screaming, did the clutching hand withdraw. Mrs. Johnson said that the hand that grabbed her had clawed fingers and a furry palm. There was an investigator and all this kind of stuff, but it said that Mrs. Johnson had a left leg that bore a green stain that stayed for several days.
Ooh.
And the doctor actually documented that too. It says it could not be removed for several days. After the Evansville Press ran a short piece on the incident, several other locales claimed sightings of a shiny oval hovering over the river around the same time on August 21st. Those UFO sightings in turn brought the U.S. Air Force base officer to visit Johnson and her husband, grilling them about the incident and taking detailed notes. Here's where this is a good way to start. That is what they say. There was when they were investigating, she actually reported that somebody else saying that they were a colonel from the Air Force told her never to speak of this again. Mm. And so they're like, ooh, it's a Men in Black. Mm-hmm. So some of these stories, at least this one was definitely
very similar. Yeah.
Very highlighted. So it's kind of weird. But like I said, there were other sightings that day. And I don't know. Do you guys know much about the Hopkinsville encounter? Mm-hmm. It's a famous, one of the most famous.
I want to do an episode on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it happened in 1955, same time.
Kentucky.
And they say that maybe those were the same beings or goblins or whatever you want to call them. Like I said, you call them monsters, you call them lizard men. However you want to dice it, they said that might have been part of the same encounter.
Could be.
That's kind of wild. So I won't go into the great details.
Working their way up to Indiana or working their way down to Kentucky, I love that story. That's one of my favorite stories of all time.
That happened in Kentucky, so it was very close there.
Hopkinsville goblins?
Yeah. So, yeah, I'd heard of it before, but it's interesting. But, yeah, so we'll cover.
But I had never obviously heard that. The
connected.
That's so,
people have inferred that, though, and it's kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah, very cool. And what was that called again, the creature? The Dogtown, I just think that's funny, the Dogtown Lizard guy?
It is the Dogtown Lizard Man.
Lizard Man, Dogtown Lizard Man.
And like I said, I've heard of the Millrace Monster, too, so that's another one. But now, and Millrace Monster was in, I think they said it was in Columbus, so that's, but the stories sound very similar, so.
Sure. I like that one. That's cool. Nate, what you got, man?
There's the Bigfoot and the Yeti, and then there's only Crosley Monster of Indiana. Reports of this Sasquatch-type creature began more than a decade ago and still come in today. Those who have encountered it are usually in the woods, obviously. It starts with a rustling of the leaves or branches. You'll think it's just a deer or a rabbit, but then the rustling gets to be too much or so much that you know it has to be something bigger. Those that have seen this thing have reported red glowing eyes, matted fur, and a gigantic body like that of an ape. He could come out from anywhere, so maybe think twice before investigating every sound you hear in the forest.
That's creepy.
Yeah, I mean, red eyes.
Yeah.
No. Right. Yeah. Maybe he just needs some eye drops.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
They're just dry. Thank you. I leave you now.
Why am I?
Cookie. What?
Oh, you're Cookie Monster.
Olivia, my daughter.
I thought you were
Cookie Monster.
Fat Albert.
Yeah. Cookie.
That's a creepy.
Now, well, I mean, weren't there, like, way back when, you know, I mean, before indigenous people and all that kind of stuff, where a monkey could swing from tree from coast to coast with never touching the ground. I mean, I'm sure there's some sort of ape-like creature around these parts at some point.
You're talking about, yeah.
But
when they
here
all
a decade
the continents
ago?
Were together, yeah.
right.
Maybe.
Yeah, that'd be sucky to run into that thing.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, it's just a deer. It's just a, nope,
not
a deer.
That's bigger than a deer.
Not a deer. It ain't the deer. Yeah.
At least it's not the skunk ape. That one's
smells. And what is it called? The Crosley?
The Crosley Monster.
The Crosley Monster. I have never heard of that.
Me neither.
No, I have.
No, I've always heard Indiana Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that
just
like
the general,
down south and mm-hmm. General Bigfoot. But I've never heard of the Crosley Monster.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. I've just heard the general Bigfoot term here in Indiana. But yeah, it's got a name.
Yeah, it does. Well, and that's the thing is like I said, this is kind of the crossroads he has to go through here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mine is... you're doing next. Oh, I thought you were pointing to me like you're next. Sorry.
Man, he just went right by
I did.
You.
You know this guy.
I'm so excited for this one.
I mean, go this guy. Am I not part of the show?
Hey, I was ready to mispronounce mine. You mispronounce yours first.
Wow.
I just zoned
not
out there for a second.
Not only does he overshoot me, now he's like, yeah, go pronounce
it. Now he's insulting you.
Yeah. He's not wrong on the
matter. Hey, this is what I make the big bucks for.
All right. Here
all
we go.
All the zeros.
You know what? I'm deducting your zero.
You should.
Okay. My story is, okay, she is called the Meshekinabek.
Phew, that was actually pretty good. Good job.
Not bad. Meshekinabek. Look at that. Meshekinabek.
Oop, three times. Ooh.
The Meshekinabek. Apparently, Indiana has a Loch Ness Monster of its own, with reports dating far back in the traditions of the Native Americans that inhabited the lands near Rochester. An August 1838 article in the Logansport Telegraph describes a monster known to the Potawatomi. Now watch this. Listen to this. Known to the Potawatomi as the Meshekinabek in Lake Manitou.
Manitou.
Is it Manitou?
Manitou.
Is that near where you're?
Well, right, yeah. I'm from Kokomo, Rochester.
What, I figured that's what.
Born in Logansport. So, yeah,
Say all that three times fast.
The only reason I know that is from, yeah.
So it's like Manitou?
Manitou.
I may
be saying it wrong. Heck, I don't know.
Okay, it's Lake Manitou. Manitou. That was estimated to be 60 feet long.
Man.
No, I like this. With a noggin shaped like a noggin. With a noggin shaped like a cow's head, about 3 feet across, and a dingy color with bright yellow spots. Oh. There is apparently a well-known tradition of Indians respecting the monster in Devil's Lake.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is the Meshekinabek.
Yeah, and they say that the Indians would not fish from that lake because it was so sacred, mm-hmm. right?
And I believe that.
Ooh.
So there you go. Dingy.
I'm so excited to share some of these. I'm just going to try to
like
all over
noggin.
Guys.
You know?
Noggin is good. It's very good.
Shaped like a cow's head.
All right, I'm going to try not to butcher this one, but it
is. Okay, Sean, now do your story.
Wait, what? Didn't we? I already did mine, didn't I? Didn't I do about 10 of them? Okay, I'm going to try not to mess this up. Pukwudgie. Not wedgie. Wudgie, right? Pukwudgie is... This is where we're talking about the ancient trolls, right? The term Pukwudgie, a word which roughly translates to small, wild man of the woods who vanishes in native, I'm going to ruin this one, Wampanoag culture, is a strange...
What was that again?
That's what...
I'm going to say it three times.
That's what happens when something hits you in the head.
Wampanoag.
You get hit in the head by a puck, Wudgie?
I should
play hockey.
I should just spell it is what I'm going to do. It's a strange troll-like man, in quotes, said to be between 2 and 3 feet tall with pallid skin and blonde hair. The writing details, sightings of these trolls go from the Native American days until fairly recent. Here's one. He's a little cute little guy. Isn't he cute little? I don't want to run into that.
No,
isn't he cute little thing?
They're not nice.
No. They are most commonly sighted by frightened onlookers on the banks of the White River. We know the White River. Around Mound State Park. Onlookers should not fear, though, ancient writings by Wampanoag people describe the demeanor of the Pukwudgie to be a friendly trickster. No doubt it would be a little spooky to see one of these unexpectedly run across your path. It's funny because remember when we talked about Mound State Park and when
that's
I was
when
in Anderson,
that,
I heard about these little things and that's when I was like, yeah, I heard stuff.
So either have the big giants or they have Pukwudgies.
I didn't want to go down the Pukwudgie road that time because I'm like, that's crazy. But now we're talking about it.
Maybe the giants... I shouldn't say that.
You're like,
they took a puck away.
Maybe.
Maybe they did. Yeah, they're very mischievous, and they can be mean. They're seen in Ohio, Wisconsin is a big hangout for Pukwudgies.
Are they related to leprechauns?
I don't think so. They might be.
They just look small and mischievous.
They look similar, some of them.
Yeah.
Well, they have the same type of character. I mean, the same type of, mischievous attitude and personalities, and
no pot of gold.
No, just hockey pucks.
Not worth going after, right?
Give me hockey puck.
Hockey puck.
Or I'll give you a wedgie. Woodgie. That's how they came up with the name.
A woodgie.
Yeah.
Woodgie.
All right, Mr. Nate.
Beast of Busco.
Yes.
Oscar is definitely the most famous of Indiana's cryptids.
Oscar.
The Beast of Busco, or Busco.
Busco, yeah.
Is said to be a giant turtle with a shell as big as a dining room table that inhabits a lake near Churubusco, Indiana.
Nice.
Nice.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Sounds good.
First spotted by the owner in 1898, Oscar's popularity really picked up steam when it was spotted by two fishermen in 1948. His discovery led to an all-out effort to capture the monster, but several attempts, including draining most of the lake, came up empty-handed. The town, however, has turned the story into tourism, dubbing itself Turtle Town, USA, and celebrating its cryptid each year with the Turtle Days Festival.
Isn't that cool?
Wow.
Never heard of this, ever.
They've been draining the
lake
to try to find it.
I think they have somewhere to go.
They drained the lake for that, right? And they never found it. They said little snapping turtles are like 23 pounds, but this thing was like 500 pounds.
It's right.
You're not going to miss it, right?
It has legs. Mm. It can crawl out, go to a different pond.
Gosh. And it's like watching them drain it. And he's like, I'm over here, guys.
Dummies.
Yeah. Yeah, smart thing. All right, so that was the what? The
Beast of Busco.
Busco. I want to say Bosco. You know, that's why I keep on. Okay, I have the Mud Mermaids.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Indiana is without an oceanic coastline, making it quite a stretch that Hoosiers would see a mermaid, but the beautiful or hideous, depending on the teller of the tale, half-human, half-fish cryptids of the sea. But in 1894, two Ohio newspapers reported sightings of the creature on the Ohio River near Vevey. I hope I'm saying that right. Vevey, Indiana. These mud mermaids had apparently taken up residence on a sandbar in the river. According to the Cincinnati Inquirer, the creatures were purported to be about 5 feet in length with a yellowish color, and the extremities resemble hands and are webbed and furnished with sharp claws. The mermaid was devoid of hair, but had ears that were sharp pointed and stand up like those of a dog. Oh. The Mud Mermaid. Mermaids. There you go. I don't want to run into them.
I don't either.
They don't sound very attractive or nice.
Never heard of them either. Till now.
Well, I guess so. They didn't say they were really mean or not. I don't know. They just don't sound.
There was a story about, and there was a Civil War captain that had witnessed these, and he said that he saw what he thought was a male and a female, and they were not very, you know, they seemed aggressive. And I'm like, okay, number one, can you tell they're male or female? And if they're aggressive, you'll want to run. But they were saying, you know, Indiana doesn't have don't have a coastline. Yeah. So if any kind of a mermaid would have had to go quite a ways to come from an ocean. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, it is.
But it's kind of crazy. So
it is.
Know, but they say, but there were several people citing these, you know, that are seeing these.
That is weird.
Yeah.
So what you got, Sean?
I got the Gully Wampus. Have you ever heard of a Gully Wampus?
Wow.
So
I've heard of a gully
it
washer.
It sounds kind of familiar, but I don't know any of the story. I mean, if I had.
It's very technical. I wouldn't understand.
The Gully Wampus.
Older scouts would take some of their tenderfoots, in other words, first-year scouts, out looking for a Gully Wampus at the far end of camp. Older scouts would break up in groups, leaving a group of tenderfoots out by themselves without a flashlight. Older scouts would then circle the tenderfoots running through the brush, making wild animal sounds. This would scare the tenderfoots, causing some to cry. This is when the older scouts would stop and reassure them that everything's all right. It's just a legend. At Camp Louis Ernst in DuPont, Indiana, Boy Scouts in the 1960s and 70s would take younger scouts out to the edge of the camp to look for this creature called the Gully Wampus. According to IU students in 1977, an interview with a former camper who experienced this in 1963, the Gully Wampus was a large, hairy creature that will get you if you don't watch out. The scouts said that if it had lived in the camp, or that it had lived in the camp since the 1920s, it appeared on moonlit winter nights and had flashing red eyes in the middle of its head. They also said it would tear up trees, throw boulders, make moaning noises, and grab and shake under or unwary hikers. The practice of tricking younger scouts is akin to snipe hunting, an initiation ritual practice at summer camps across the United States.
I was going to say, it sounded like the snipe.
Mm-hmm. You got it.
The old snipe. I like that one.
We got dead air.
Dead air.
I had to take a drink. It almost went. Be my own.
Hey, dead air is when we take a breath, right? It's our meditation.
That's right.
Hey, we got to breathe.
Woohoo! There's my gurgle. Very, very interesting that we have all these legends here in Indiana.
Yeah,
these the cryptid type.
Yeah,
you know? We have tons of hauntings and all that type stuff. But I didn't know we had all this stuff.
I lived in Crawfordsville for about a year.
And
then I got and I married Jenna around that time too. Right, that was 2005, 2006 ish. And all that time, I didn't know that there was a folklore about a Crawfordsville monster. It's very famous, apparently. The Crawfordsville monster.
Sean.
Oh, was it here to history?
I don't have one. He can go.
Oh, you don't?
Yeah, I'm trying to find something.
Well, then be my turn.
That's what I thought. Oh, well, go for it.
You know, this guy.
I'm sorry.
Taking your thunder.
No. You know what? Go ahead. You've already started, and then I'll yeah, go ahead.
Teacher, please, right? The Crawfordsville monster refers to an alleged creature reported by residents of Crawfordsville in 1891. A lot of these go back into the late 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And subsequently identified as a flock of killdeer. The story among most fantastic is of UFO reports. So on September 5th, 1891, the Crawfordsville Journal reported that two ice delivery men sighted a strange phenomenon that hovered in the air above their location, describing it as a horrible apparition that filled them with dread. A similar sighting was reported by a Methodist pastor and his wife. The Crawfordsville Journal described it as about 18 feet long and 8 feet wide and moved rapidly through the air by means of several pairs of side fins. It was pure white and had no definite shape or form, resembling somewhat a great white shroud fitted with propelling fins. There's no tail or head visible, but there was a one great flaming eye and a sort of wheezing plaintive sound was emitting from a mouth which was invisible. It flapped like a flag in the wind as it came on and frequently gave a great squirm as though suffering unutterable agony. So it seemed like it was in pain is what they said.
Yeah.
Some people said it had a head. Some people say it didn't have a head or a tail. And some people talked about that one red eye. So it was just very, very strange. It's like a blob.
Yeah.
A flying blob.
That's real nice.
Yeah.
Called a blob.
He's just a blob.
But he's a flying blob.
How many times have I gone out of order?
7.
Enough to get kicked off the show? Is that what you tell me? You're like,
I didn't want to
tell you. These offenses are unforgivable.
I didn't want to tell you. Nate, do you have something?
I have a monster snake.
Ooh. Oh, please do. This is one of my favorites.
Don't go near the graveyard west of Oxford, Indiana. A monstrous snake 15 feet long and as large in circumference as a good-sized stovepipe, with eyes of fire, adorned with horns beneath fully 10 inches long. Oh, horns underneath fully 10 inches long, lurks among the graves. According to the September 1889 report in the Lafayette Courier, the snake was said to feed on the corpses in the cemetery.
That's wild, man. That is wild.
Hmm.
Super creepy, super cool, though.
It is. I like that. Okay, now, so here's a little bit, sticking with our theme here, but so IU, Indiana University in Bloomington, their science department, here are seven. So they posted an article that says seven species that used to be cryptids.
Ooh.
Okay, so they've got like at one time the gorilla, the Komodo dragon, you know, things that we can actually see these days. They were at some point thought to be mythical or cryptids, and then obviously they're real. So I found a platypus just to give you. But here's an interesting one. It's called an. Because we've heard of the other ones I just mentioned, but a copy. Have you heard of an a copy? It's OKAPI or a cappy.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. It says also known as the forest giraffe, the a copy is a blend of a zebra, donkey, deer, and antelope. Yet its closest genetic link is giraffes. Europeans in the 18th and 19th centuries called the animal the African unicorn, Of course, Africans knew the okapi existed since these animals inhabit the Ituri forest in Central Africa. Here's a typo. So okapis are rarely seen and are extremely hard to find. They were classified as a cryptid for many years. In 1901, Sir Harry Johnston found an okapi skeleton and skin and sent it to the British Museum, where it was classified as a new species. So it's a real, but you know.
That's wild.
Well, yeah, I thought that was kind of a different take to, you know, but still kind of going with what we're talking about.
When you say platypus too, that like if you described a platypus to somebody that's never heard of a platypus or seen one, they'd be like, that's made up. Right. There's no way that, right. Oh my gosh, that exactly.
Yeah.
God must have had an off day.
So yeah.
Big sense of humor.
So there's like, it's got four or five different combinations of animals, but then it's closest to the giraffe.
That's the interesting thing, is that like some of the stuff, maybe it did exist, or maybe I like to think, oh my gosh, that's crazy. Yeah.
Huh.
Wow.
So, anyway.
You think you've seen it all. Now, that also begs the question, did some of this stuff exist? Was there, you know, there's some weird genetic DNA stuff going on? Are there labs that they're creating all this stuff? Who knows? Like underground stuff. We talked about a lot of that stuff. Or is it interdimensional beings? I mean, who knows? It could definitely go back to that. One other one we talked about there being a dragon in the state of Indiana. I was like, what? A dragon? So it says there, this tale comes from the Fort Wayne Sentinel, published on August 20th, 1879. According to this story, farmer Jacob Rischel was passing through a field in Jackson Township, northeast of town, on August 16th when he noticed the tall grass waving about and being agitated in a very violent manner, having the exact appearance of a small whirlwind. Turning to flee, Rischel was further frightened when the wind changed course to follow him. Moments later, the grass parted to reveal a huge reptile or monster, the like of which he had never seen before. So this is Jacob Rischel's dragon. This is 1879. That is crazy, too. Mm-hmm. Rischel ran for his life, but the monster kept pace, drawing so close that Rischel later claimed, "I could smell his breath." Ooh. It seemed to be a huge snake, but with horns or tentacles protruding from its head above each eye. After a harrowing pursuit, Rischel reached a fence where a convenient scythe hung waiting, and he snatched the weapon, turning to confront the beast. His first blow severed one of its horns, and Rischel finally managed to kill the reptile, cutting off its head after the monster snagged its body on the prongs of a reaping machine.
Ooh.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
That's a real thing, right?
Yeah.
1879. It's like yesteryear, right?
All these
right?
are in the 1800s, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Stories are going back.
Well, and that's funny that they have festivals too, like, you know, the turtle. Oh, yeah. We still
it's kind of fun.
Waiting for him to come back. He ain't coming back.
No. No.
He gone.
It's just a chance to get together. No reason. Nate, you got one? I've got one picked out, if not.
No, go ahead.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right. This will be my last one. This one is a gorilla sloth-like creature that once roamed Boonville, Indiana. It says, Boonville, Indiana, in the southern portion of the state near Evansville, is home to some interesting stories like mountain lions living in coal mines, Black Annie in the woods near Scales Lake, but this is the first time I've heard of a cryptid creature roaming the area. Supposedly, a sloth-slash-ape hybrid was spotted in Boonville. Now, this one's not as far back, but still a decent amount of time. Around 1937, the town even set out traps to try and capture this creature, according to the video, The History of Hoosier Cryptids. The sightings had residents living in fear. They wouldn't let their kids go out at night for fear that they might get snatched up by this ape, sloth, slash giant creature. Apparently, it was madness. There's a theory that local landowners started the rumor to keep people from stealing their blackberries. Did people really spot this creature? Was it just landowners trying to keep others off of their properties? No one can say for sure. So there you go.
That's wild.
The Boonville, Indiana gorilla slash sloth.
Who started that?
Who's playing music?
Oh.
Huh.
What was that?
I don't know.
It was a phantom. Not me.
Okay. Well, there you go.
I think it was Micah. No, I was kidding. Is Micah coming through?
Is he trying to? Yeah.
Hello? Are we trying to summon Micah? Micah, can you hear us? I don't know what that was.
Are we getting haunting?
We might be. Hey. That tulpa stuff, it is a thing.
Starting to come together.
Well, but yeah, oh my gosh. Like I told you, though, we have all of these things. There's huge, giant birds. This one was from 1946. I won't read into it. But there are, where's all these sightings of giant birds, big birds, and all this kind of stuff.
I'll let you end it on that.
Yeah, okay.
On Sesame Street?
I will not go into great detail. On Sesame Street. Well, here's a picture of it. Look at it. Look it up, because that's huge.
Wait, let me see.
Look Oh, yeah. Looks like something prehistoric. So, little people as little people flourish in Aboriginal legends, so do mighty thunderbirds. So, these are called thunderbirds.
Yep.
Described as massive super eagles, capable of hunting man-sized prey. Sightings of birds surpassing any modern species in sheer size continue to be present to this day across America. But Indiana's sole report on file so far dates from the post-war year of 1946. Isn't that crazy? So, yeah, and then there's a there's a picture of it. So it's like, that was a real thing. That is super creepy.
And really, 1946 sounds like a long time, but for something like that, it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah,
it's not 1846.
So all the war, the focus was on the war, World War II, and nobody's focused on the cryptids. We need to be focused on the cryptids, right? We got to have a war against the cryptids.
look to the the firebird or whatever they call them, the thunderbird.
One thing is with these cryptids, they say when there's a sighting or two, and then you put it in the paper, then all of a sudden, guess what? There's more sightings, more people seeing it. Are they really seeing it? Yeah. Is it a trick of the mind? Is it people just wanting to be involved in the story? So I believe that there are some reports of this stuff going on. But I do think some of it, if not a lot of it, is fantasy. Mm-hmm. But then you look at the picture of that humongous bird. Like, that's a real thing. Yeah. So well, who knows? Like,
I went hiking one time, and I didn't, I mean, I saw a little bit of it, but I didn't see it. I jumped a deer.
Hmm.
So it was like, it was bedded down in some high weeds, and I was walking through there and just crashing and banging, and I saw brown fur.
Scared you,
like,
right?
I said, I didn't see the deer. I saw some of the fur or whatever, but I mean, I knew it was a deer, but, you know, someone is really flustered and all they see is brown fur going into shrubs.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what they would think it would have been.
Right. And that's the Indiana brown fur monster.
Yeah.
That's how they come out.
I knew
I'm
going
to add that to the list.
Yeah. It's,
no, seriously, I can play.
I mean, stuff like that can happen.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
You're
right
out there and you're not expecting it. And
your imagination goes wild.
Yeah.
If I saw it here in Plainfield, Indiana, I'd call it the Plainfield brown fur monster.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
And then we'd be doing it on our podcast.
I'll do it tonight, I bet, too. When I drive home, I'll be looking for all these different things we've talked about. And there'll be some deer run out in front of me, or I'll see it, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, what is it? Oh, it's a deer. Mm-hmm. And they have scared me to.
And you'd say, oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Yes,
I would.
Well, there you go. Nate, do you have any before we? Did you have
no.
One?
Oh,
okay.
I think we've.
We covered a
hit,
lot, honestly.
Hit most of them,
like I said, a little quick deep dive. Ankle deep, right?
Ankle deep.
Ankle deep.
We did it.
It's the way we do it.
Dip a toe.
This I hope
is
you
how
creep.
We do.
We got to end with some music. Is that our kiss? We did kiss last time. So.
Yeah, that's fine. So there you go. Episode mini number 29.
Woo-woo.
That was exciting on Indiana monsters. So that was a good topic. Thank you.
That was fun.
Tommy.
Tommy Kingsley. Yes. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it very
much. I hope
much.
I didn't mess it up too much.
I don't know. It was all right. No, I'm kidding. No, it was good.
I did. I only interrupted two or three times.
That's okay.
I was excited. That's my. That's all.
Your,
I
know.
That's all I got.
Don't have to explain.
I know.
He was giddy.
He was Sean being Sean.
Whatever.
This is true. So thank you, creepies, for listening to that middle-aged mini. I hope you enjoyed it. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Later.
See you.